friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Basketball Africa League, or BAL, will tip off its second season on Saturday, March 5th in Dakar, Senegal.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the BAL, and I'm looking forward to anchoring our radio coverage of the games in English. Last year, Prince Nesta was part of our BAL broadcasting team, and he'll be back for season two. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Oh my goodness, we're back again. And you know, it's yet another time, yet another moment. So fantastic for Africa.
Prince, we had a lot of fun during BAL season one, and I think we might have even more fun in season two.
Absolutely. And you know, watch out for my predictions because they're always right. You better watch out for my predictions. If you're listening to us right now and you're banking on Sunny Says predictions, you better watch out for my predictions. I'm warning you early in advance. But we really had a great time for sure. And this Basketball African League tournament is going to be bigger and better, I feel, Sunny.
Prince, in terms of bigger and better, the Basketball Africa League is expanding for season two to three African countries: Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda. Our Voice of America listeners will remember during its inaugural season in 2021, the BAL basically played a compressed two-week schedule in Kigali, Rwanda. The BAL will play games in Dakar from March 5th to March 15th, and then the league will go to Cairo, Egypt for more games from April 9th to April 19th, and then the league will hold its playoffs and final in Kigali, Rwanda in May. Prince, your thoughts on the BAL expanding to Senegal and Egypt for 2022?
Absolutely. I think it's an absolutely brilliant way of organizing such a tournament. And, you know, last year it was held in East Africa, that's Kigali, Rwanda. But this time around it's going to be held in North Africa, you know, that's Egypt. It's going to be held in West Africa, Senegal. It's also going to be held again in East Africa. And it's really great, considering the fact that even as far as the spread of basketball is concerned in the African tournament, you have like plenty of all these regions represented, including South Africa, which actually is going to be having a team this time around. And so I really like the way that it has been structured, both the Nile and the Sahara conferences. And even in terms of like tourism boosts, not only spread of basketball and stuff. I mean, look at all, every visitor who's going to be coming in and, you know, are booking all these hotel rooms, you know, talking about investments and tourism and all this kind of stuff. It's really great. And I feel it's the best way to go as far as, you know, play concentrations and, you know, focusing on the growth of basketball in the African continent is concerned. And, I was just thinking about it and, you know, looking at the incredible job that the Basketball African League has done. It seems like there's even going to be teams well represented from different, all these places. I mean, if you look at North Africa, there's going to be Egypt, there's a country which is represented in this tournament. Morocco is going to be represented. Tunisia is going to be represented. Looking at East Africa, Rwanda is going to be representing East Africa. Sudan is also going to be, you know, South Sudan is also going to be representing the Eastern African region. If you look at, you know, Cameroon, West Africa, Democratic Republic of Congo is going to be Central Africa, you know, Guinea is going to be West Africa, Mozambique, South Africa, and South Africa itself is going to be representing Southern Africa. And so I really like the way finally, Basketball African League has gotten it right, and the spread of basketball really looks great as far as the future of basketball in Africa is concerned.
Prince, Senegal is where the first 15 games of the Basketball Africa League will take place. As I look at Senegal, Prince, the country has really had a lot to celebrate recently. In early February, Senegal's national men's team, the Lions of Teranga, lifted their first Africa Cup of Nations football trophy. Just recently, Senegal inaugurated a new 50,000-seat sports stadium about 30 kilometers from Dakar. And now Senegal gets ready to host top-level African men's basketball. Prince, Senegal has been on a roll lately.
I'm telling you, there's something really great happening in that country. Yeah, and you know, Senegal in this particular, tournament is going to be represented by a club, DUC Dakar, which is a really great team. You know, it had a nail-biting finale, actually, to the Senegalese basketball season, considering the fact that they beat former BAL participants AS Douan 66-65 in a closely contested match to actually get to qualify for this Basketball African tournament. And so this is also a team that I can compare it with the Lions of Teranga. They will be having a home ground advantage, and you know they will be counting on the support, the same Senegalese support that you know was bestowed upon the Lions of Teranga. Is gonna be the Senegalese are really gonna be supporting their own team, and so they have the home ground advantage. They will be boosted by formidable players and experienced players, especially Thien Onyang, who's ability actually, you know, separates him from the rest of other players. He's a really fantastic player, massive experience. And so it's really looking good and shaping up for the Senegalese team and for the Senegalese nation. At least if they could win this one, then, you know, it will really show, not only in terms of soccer, but also in terms of basketball, they are really placing their best foot forward.
Prince, one team hoping to put its best basketball feet forward is Cobra Sport of South Sudan. Cobra Sport, one of seven teams making its debut in this second season of the Basketball Africa League. Now, Prince, when I think about South Sudan, I think about two players in particular, Luol Deng, great NBA career, and the late, great Manute Bol, who also came from South Sudan. So the country does have a pretty proud pedigree in men's basketball. So, Prince, what do you think of the chances of Cobra Sport in the BAL?
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to be a little bit biased here since I come from East Africa, from Kenya. And, you know, they represent the Eastern African region apart from, you know, the team from Kigali. But at the same time, Cobra Sport, it is a great team. You know, first of all, it's a team that was actually founded in 2017. You know, they finished second in the East Division of the BAL qualifiers. They booked their spot with a 78-76 semi-final win over the New Star of Burundi, which is also another great, great team. And so it's a team which has been strengthening themselves in terms of, you know, you will recall that they have brought in the services of a couple of Kenyans, John Jevish Omondi as their head coach. He's from Kenya. They've also signed a Kenyan international, Tom Wamukota. They brought in Rwandese international. And I think you'll recall this name. He was actually in the APR squad last time around, Didion Dizay. So they have strengthened their squad, and they really look forward to, you know, advancing as far as, the other stages of the tournament are concerned. And if you look at some of, you know, their coach, the coach is really experienced. They have been improving their performances. But the only reason for concern, according to me, Sunny, I actually think that inexperience as far as this stage of the competition is concerned, is really crucial, because you'll find like the other teams that are waiting for them, Zamalek included, US Monastery, AS Sally, you know, these are teams that are really experienced. At least they participated in the tournament last time around. And so the inexperience of Cobra Sport in this particular tournament is going to bite them, unless they also have like some of those NBA experienced players to join their squad to just, you know, show some guidance, because otherwise the inexperience might cost them a little bit in terms of my own observation, but really good for them to qualify and represent the Eastern African region.
Prince, for the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League, Rwanda was represented by the Patriots. This time around, Rwanda Energy Group, or REG, will be waving the Rwandan flag high. The Rwandan team, interestingly, is coached by a former NBA player, Robert Pack. Do you think coaches like Pack, with their NBA experience, can make a difference in this tournament?
Yes. Absolutely. And I feel like that is a very beautiful thing, because the NBA players, or players who are bringing in the NBA experience, you know, are learning something from the African players. At the same time, the African best players are also learning something from the NBA players. And we saw this, you know, it really made a great difference as far as the overall competition of the Basketball African League is concerned. That's last time around. And so I think it is a win-win situation for both. And even in terms of, marketing of the tournament, we saw J. Cole, you know, really play a significant role as far as both in and outside the court, as far as marketing the tournament is concerned. And so to me, I feel it's a win-win situation, because Basketball African League, the inaugural tournament was held last year, and we need to make it even bigger and better, and by including players from all around the world, you know, to participate in the tournament is really great. And talking about REG, which is the Rwandan team, it is a great team. You know, first of all, is, as you've mentioned, it's owned by the Rwanda Energy Group Limited, and it was established in 2016. Great team. They actually have been playing second fiddle to the Patriots of Rwanda, you know, actually reached the semi-finals last year. But they will have a point to prove for sure this time around. They have their star player, who's called Kami Kabange. They will be banking on him to basically, you know, lift the spirit of the Rwandans, and basically, who knows, maybe they could reach the semifinals this time around. But at the same time, I would also say that they are one of the teams who are taking part in this tournament for their first time. Inexperience really, again, is going to bite them, but they need to beef up their squads. And as you've rightfully mentioned, other teams, especially have been observing the Northern African teams, have really bolstered their squad by bringing in key experienced players from other parts. And so I would expect, you know, the Rwandan Energy Group Limited to basically invest and bring in solid talent, experienced players.
Thanks, Prince. That's Prince Nesta, who will be joining me for some of our special upcoming radio coverage of the second season of the Basketball Africa League.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
The Basketball Africa League is a joint venture between the National Basketball Association, the NBA, and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA. For more on the BAL's second season, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadou, retired.
The ball season 2 will be an enhancement of what was had in the first year. This time around, there will be better organization and playing the game in more countries will expand the scope and the entertainment value of the game. Countries across Africa will see the games firsthand. Unlike last year when it was played in only one venue for 2 weeks, it will help to also popularize the game and attract more sponsorship. Overall, Balls in season 2 will be more interesting as there's more awareness for the game, and this will help African basketball.
Colonel Sam, could you make some general comments about basketball development in those three African countries?
Yeah, as regards to basketball development in those three countries, Egypt, Senegal, and Rwanda. Egypt, I would say, is an advanced country in basketball. It has all the infrastructures. I think generally the relatively have the best stadiums in Africa. You can count many stadiums in Egypt that are up to good standard. Egypt just hosted the Intercontinental Cup, which is a sort of club World Cup competition. So, and Egypt has been in basketball since the year it was formed in Africa. And for Senegal, yes, they have been up and down. But recently, Senegal has the best stadium in Africa. A 25,000 standard stadium, they have the, and that's why I say they've been hosting many competitions. They've just hosted the second window of the FIBA World Cup qualifiers, which just ended in Dakar 2 days back. So Senegal have good infrastructure. For Rwanda too, Rwanda is an upcoming country. However, they have also the latest stadium, built after the Senegalese one, and Rwanda has been growing in the game, though they have a lot to do to catch up. They have the infrastructure, they have the facilities, but they don't have the manpower. Hopefully, they will also develop on this soon. But the president of the country, has shown keen interest in supporting basketball, and that is the advantage that Rwanda has.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from here in the United States.
This is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired president FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you have a good day, too. In African women's football, the Crested Cranes of Uganda are one of 12 teams to qualify for this year's Women's Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will be played in Morocco in July. Joining us now from Kampala with a feature on the Ugandan women is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. The Crested Cranes qualified for the second time for the CAF Total Energies Women's African Cup of Nations, or AUCON, after defeating Ethiopia on penalties and Kenya's withdrawal in the final qualifying round. Ruth Aturo, the Crested Cranes captain, says she's delighted she helped Uganda to qualify.
So I want to appreciate all my teammates and I encourage them to work more hard to see that we focus and are going to play our best as Crested Cranes senior team Uganda, and we shall do our best together with the technical team.
The Crested Cranes were later joined by fellow SECAFA member Burundi, who qualified at the expense of Eritrea and Djibouti. The Crested Cranes goalkeeper says herself and teammates will double their efforts ahead of the July tournament.
We are still preparing for the AUCON games and believe that through our preparations and organizations and the programs that I've been going through, I hope and I believe that my team will bounce back more stronger, since we had already started preparing so much to see that we can beat Kenya. We are never scared about them.
The Crested Queens will be back at the finals after 22 years of absence since the 2000 edition that was hosted by South Africa. George Lutalo, the Crested Queens coach, says he's grateful Ugandan flag will be hosted high at the Continental Showpiece.
I feel very proud of myself, having guided the team to qualify. This is the second time, but after 22 years, for the entire nation, it would be very good for us as Uganda.
He says the participation of the Crested Queens at the finals for the second time will motivate other girls to join the game predominantly played by males. Lutalo says he'll summon Uganda's best players, both locally and foreign best, such as Yudaya Nakayenze, who plays for Linda Wilson College in the US, Joanne Nabirie from Bihinga Queens FC in Kenya, Sandra Nabeteme from Iceland, Shirazi Natasha, who plays for Maccabi, Kishlot Hadera in Israel, goalkeeper Deze Nakaziro and striker Fazila Ikwaput, who play for reigning local champions Lady FC in Kampala. The team will be boosted by Uganda under 20 women national team captain Fauzia Najemba, who recently sealed the move to Kazakhstan women champions Big Kazakat. For now, Rutaro says, we aim at helping the girls showcase their talents at the Alcon.
And we are really focused. We are really focused. We have a target that we need to achieve. We are not ending only on that, but we need also to push even to the World Cup. So it is a task ahead of us that we need to overcome.
Grace Lindsay Mbavas, a sports journalist in Kampala, says it won't be an easy task.
Considering the circumstances surrounding women football, for example, some women have to sneak out of their homes just to play. Others are trolled for their gender. I think it's important for them to represent the country and as well play at the continent. It will open doors for them. So playing at the continent, I think, will be a dream come true for the Crested Cranes, because some of them, their lives will be changed forever.
Midfielder Hasfana Suna says the Crested Cranes up the task to test it out with Africa's soccer greats.
It is a great opportunity that we are not going to take for granted, because we have been waiting and yearning for this. All of us, this is our first time to qualify for AFCON. So we are going to Morocco to play our hearts out.
The Crested Queens will meet some of Africa's very best, such as the Indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon, the Super Falcons of Nigeria, South Africa's Banyana Banyana, and Zambia. Others are debutants Botswana, Burundi, Burkina Faso, and Togo, as well as perennial competitors Senegal and Tunisia. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. By the names, I'm Ikwaput Fazila, Lady Doves FC Club. Then I play for the Crested Crane forward. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, international sports organizations have levied sanctions against Russia. VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more.
On Monday, soccer's world governing body, FIFA, and European football's governing body, UEFA, announced they are suspending Russian clubs and national teams from all competitions until further notice. In a joint statement, Presidents Gianni Infantino and Alexander Seferin said, "Football is fully united and in full solidarity with all the people affected in Ukraine." The suspension means Russia is now banned from qualifying for this year's World Cup in Qatar, just weeks before the country was to play for one of the final spots in the tournament. UEFA has also confirmed that FC Spartak Moscow has been ejected from the Europa League, and upcoming opponents Germany's RB Leipzig are through to the quarterfinals of that competition. In their joint statement, Infantino and Seferin said they, quote, hope that the situation in Ukraine will improve significantly and rapidly so that football can again be a vector for unity and peace amongst people. Also on Monday, the Ukrainian Tennis Federation called for the immediate expulsion of Russia and Belarus from the International Tennis Federation, or ITF, for Russia's attacks on Ukraine and Belarus's ties to Russia as a political ally. Russia has called its actions in Ukraine a special military operation designed to fight what it describes as dangerous nationalist groups. However, the Ukrainian Tennis Federation has called the attacks a, quote, ruthless war on extermination. Reuters News reviewed a letter from the governing body to the ITF that read in part, Russia and Belarus have no right not only to hold international competitions on their territories, but also to participate in all ITF team and individual tournaments abroad. In response, the ITF said it has taken swift action to cancel all events in Russia indefinitely, and that no ITF events will be held in Belarus for the rest of the year. However, Ukrainian Tennis Federation board member Seva Kevlich tells Reuters the ITF should go a step further and ban individual players from Grand Slam tournaments.
Tennis is a quite special kind of sport because it's really individual sport. That's why when we discussed about targets of this letter, we exclude ATP and WTA because this is the individual professional tours. ITF is another story. ITF is the organization which consists of members. And the member is the federation, national federation. National Federation represent the national tennis in ITF. So when you exclude and ban the Tennis Federation from the ITF, so it's automatically that the players who represent this federation in the tournaments should be banned in the tournaments, individually and teams, of course.
A sanction like Kevlich describes would be bad news for Russian players, in particular Daniil Medvedev, who on Monday became the newly crowned world number one in men's tennis. A ban would cast doubt on whether he will participate in his next Grand Slam event, the French Open, in May, a move Seva Kevlich says could strip him of his number one ranking.
Let him play in professional when besides ATF. Grand Slam is an ITF event. And if he loses possibility to play in Grand Slams, he will never be world number one.
If the ban is approved, top Russian players could miss out on this month's Indian Wells tournament in California, where four notable players from Russia and Belarus are in the main draw. And the International Olympic Committee issued a written declaration on Monday that called on Russian and Belarusian athletes to be banned from competing in international events. The IOC Executive Board strongly urged international sports federations and organizations to prevent athletes or sports officials from taking part in sporting events under the name of Russia or Belarus. The IOC said, in part, Russian or Belarusian nationals, be it individuals or teams, should be accepted only as neutral athletes or neutral teams. No national symbols, colors, flags, or anthems should be displayed. The IOC says the recommendation was made in order to, quote, protect the integrity of global sports competitions and for the safety of all the participants. The declaration comes just days before the start of the Beijing Winter Paralympic Games that are set to begin on Friday. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said in a statement, the world is horrified by what Russia has done. The Russian Athletics Federation has been suspended from World Athletics since 2015 due to doping violations and therefore is not currently eligible to host World Athletics events or send teams to international championships. And that wraps up the March 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.